guaranteed. And I've been telling him for years, changing the verb, care is a noun. Care means fear, worry, mental anguish, mental torment. Don't think you keep it to yourself. And Christians do that to each other all the time. Take care. Okay. Gee, I don't know why my day's been so bad. Well, do a more touch and agree. You get what you asked for. Amen. But that's not what I mean. So what? Jesus said, it's what comes out of your mouth is what comes out of your heart. Not out of your head. Your head may say one thing, but whatever comes out of your mouth is what's coming from your heart. And I try not to ever tell people to take care, take fear, worry, mental anguish, mental torment. And I'm making a point when they say, take care of me, I say, don't think. Or I'll just say, start to change the subject. Watch what you hear. One of the people said, take care, be careful for what you hear. Be careful for what you hear. Why? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So if faith cometh by hearing, what's disbelief come from? Hearing. Ooh. Huh? Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Unbelief comes by hearing the word of the world or sin. Be careful what you hear. Alright? Where am I? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue of words, ye shall be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without none. Let me try that again. And none of them is without signification. What's it all about? Different languages. There are many different kinds of languages. And they all mean something. Even birds, when they sing, they mean something. Dogs, when they bark, it means something. It's a form of communicating. Amen? All right. Therefore, verse 11, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. You know that sideband radio sometimes, listen to these guys come in from South America, huh? Say, what? You try to talk to them. No, hola, no speak English. Well, I don't speak Spanish, so what are you doing in my radio? Right? I'm up here in Vermont, you get a lot of the French. You just don't understand it. Verse 12, even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. You want to be zealous for spiritual gifts? Praise God. Seek to what? Edify the church. Not you, the church. Alright. Verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, watch this. What are we talking about here? Are we talking about the gift of tongues? No. We're talking about the sign. Mark 16 tongue. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. You receive the gift of tongues when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pray and ask God to give you the gift of interpretation. Maybe it'll do you some good for the church. And you know what's neat about it? It'll do you some good too. Now, I found a secret oil on this, and I'm going to share this. I found out a secret about this. See, I read that and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Okay, Lord, I'm going to pray in tongues and I'm not going to wait for you to give me the interpretation. Sounds fair, right? So I prayed in tongues for an hour. Then I sat and waited 2 hours. I said, well, maybe I didn't pray long enough. So I prayed 2 hours. And I waited all night. I got up where I was praying in tongues pretty steady, and then I waited. Never got anything. Never got the first interpretation. And I had just about given up, just about figured, well, it wasn't going to work. God didn't love me. Poor, pitiful me, I'm so unworthy, you wouldn't do it with me. Anybody ever been there? Nobody in this group, right? So I left, I gave up, I walked out, started down the road, and I came up to somebody, and this guy started talking to me about a problem, and all of a sudden I opened my mouth to talk to him, and man, I couldn't believe the things that were coming out of my mouth. Wisdom, knowledge, scripture. I had to run home and get my Bible to see if I quoted it right. I'd never quoted that scripture before. I was quoting scripture, I'd never quoted. Couldn't believe it. And I was answering this guy, boom, 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 just like that. I was amazed. And I went back and I realized interpretation isn't informative. See, I wanted the interpretation for myself. That's not the way it works. What is it? The gifts are given to profit with all others. So, if you pray in tongues, that's good. Pray in tongues. Praise God. It'll build up your faith. Pray too that you get the interpretation. But remember, you're not going to speak the interpretation until you're in the mindset to edify the body of Christ. That's when the interpretation comes out. That's when it comes out. And you can learn too. And the beautiful thing is the whole body gets to pretend in that porterhouse state to get there. Huh? Ain't that neat? I listen to myself sometimes going, sounds stupid. But anyway, that's the way I am. People have to accept it. All right. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But my understanding is unfruitful. I'm still dumb in the box of rocks. Don't know anymore after I pray in tongues than I did before. Unless I get the interpretation. And if I pray for interpretation, who's it for? The church. Not for me, period, but for the church. But if I speak it in the church and the church gets it, maybe a little bit will come to me too. 15. What is it then? This is Liz speaking. What is it then? Let me interpret that for you. How does this work then? How does this work? I will pray with the Spirit, not in tongues, and I will pray with the understanding also. So he'll pray in tongues. And remember, here, it's not this one. It's the sign that you receive when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He will pray with tongues, in tongues. He will pray with his understanding. How do you pray with your understanding? Jesus taught you how to do that. When you pray, pray to us, our Father who art in heaven. Not to sit there and say it like the Catholics do, and the Protestants do. You know, we're not going to be the hypocrites like the Pharisees, right? And we're not going to do all that prayer in vain repetition, right? All right, church, repeat after me, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, you know. That's a repetition. every step of that prayer is a guideline on what to pray about. Start off with God the Father, number one. That's who you're praying to. Right? Start off praying to God the Father, who is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Now, I kept waiting for somebody to tell me the other night, because I kept going and going, and nobody said it. Nobody said it. And I said, hallowed be thy name. Thy name is holy. Thy name is wonderful. Thy name is glorious. And it is all those things. But I didn't hear one single person say, Jesus. Huh? What is the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost? Jesus. When Jesus said, go teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. And what are all these preachers? They really did it real smart. They run up and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. They didn't do what he said. Go over to the book of Acts and look what the disciples did. Every time they baptized in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. For in Him, Jesus, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Bodily. Amen? Alright. So, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. When you're praying with your understanding, pray to Jesus, to the Father, in the name of Jesus. Pray that His kingdom will come first here, then here. Remember Nicodemus? Came to Jesus by night. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. What? Came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. What do you have, a mouse in his pocket? No, him and the other rulers knew that Jesus came from the Father, came from God. He said, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the miracles thou doest except God be with him. Jesus turned and said a marvelous thing to him. Verily, verily, except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. Huh? He wasn't talking about being saved. Now we got a bunch of other preachers out here. Oh, you got to be born again to go to heaven. Where did they get this stuff? You have to be born again of the blood to understand the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. Jesus said very early, I said, except you be born again, you shall not see, i.e., understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus proved the point. How can this be? I'm a man. Was I reentered the second time in my mother's womb? Jesus brought up the next point. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Again, it doesn't have anything with going to heaven. When Jesus was casting out devils, what was it? The Pharisees, when they accused him of doing it by Beelzebub. What did Jesus say? If I cast out devils by the finger of God, know ye this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Now let's think about it a minute. Here's Jesus, and my Bible tells me that He always perfectly answered them in everything. Everything He always gave perfect answer. Then Nicodemus says, we know thou art a teacher come from God. Where's the question? Any question? He never asked a question, did he? He made a statement. And here Jesus all says, truly, very, very, except you're born again, you can't go to heaven. If I was Nicodemus, I'd say, huh? What that got to do with what Nicodemus was saying? Nothing. Nicodemus was talking about understanding the kingdom of God. He was claiming to understand the kingdom of God by stating that he knew Jesus was of God because of the miracles. Jesus turned around and said, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't understand the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God except you're born again of the blood. Now, if you want to walk in the power of the kingdom of God, you got to be born of this water and of the Spirit. What do we got now? Spirit, Lord, and the Father. The baptism of blood, the baptism of water, the baptism of the Spirit. The three are one baptism. Huh? Then you're walking in the kingdom of God. So he says here, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. This is dealing with your understanding and with the signs of tongues, not the gifts. Then he goes on. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? At thy giving of thanks, saying he understandeth not what thou sayest. He goes that you think you're dummy. Verse 17, for thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. And I like the next verse. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Paul says, I speak with tongues more than all of you. Could that account for his faith? Being as strong as it was? See, I want you to be not to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are for operating in the kingdom of God here and now. Here and now. What is the kingdom of God? Is it this world? No. Satan is the God of this world. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches us. But God's kingdom is spiritual. Amen? And if you want to walk in God's kingdom, you've got to get spiritual. And when you get spiritual, you've got to attach. I don't know if I should go back to that. You've got to attach your spirit back to your soul, and the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. Because of the sin of Adam, your spirit was separated from your soul, you died. And the moment you were born, that severance took place, and you began to die. But through Jesus Christ, the connection is remade, through the Holy Spirit, is joined as one, and you can be perfect in Christ. Amen. All right. Verse 19, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice. No, that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now see, all through this, what's Paul showing us? Everything he's showing us is the practical application of what he taught us in chapter 13. Love doesn't seek her own. Love doesn't, you know, if I love you, I'm not seeking my benefit. I'm not seeking my pleasure. I'm seeking your benefit. That's what love is all about. Love, if I love you, I'm seeking the best for you. Amen. All right, so what's he say here? He would rather speak five words with his understanding to edify you than 10,000 words in a tongue to edify himself. That's demonstrating love. It's a principle. It's what I had to learn years ago, as I spoke of the other night when I was blind. When I was blind and Ricky Baldwin would lead me by the arm into the church, or Ann, or whoever happened to be there at the time, over in Jenny's place over there in Greenville, and they lead me in there and I preach. People come up, I pray for them to be healed, God would heal. Devils got cast out of people,
blind people got their eyesight, and I walked out blind, and I felt sorry for myself. Went go home and cry, boo-hoo, poor pitiful me, God didn't love me. And I had to come to that place where I loved God wherever He put me. And I was going to serve God whether I could see or not see. I was going to serve Him no matter what. And when I came to that point, it didn't matter anymore to me whether I could see or not. All that mattered to me is that I could please my Father in heaven and please the Lord Jesus Christ and serve His people. And that's what He did. And the lesson I had to learn, and I thank God for that lesson. Sometimes I have to relearn it. I ain't going to say how many times. Let's just suffice this more than twice. Verse 20, brother, be not children in understanding. What does that mean? Be not children in understanding. You know, that means so many things. Most people read that, they think it means not to have much understanding. But it means so much more. How often are children argumentative when you try to explain them to them? Huh? All you gotta do is ask a parent. They'll tell you right quick. They know everything. 3 years old, they know more than you do. You ain't got walking around sense. I'm 3 years old. I know more than you do. I heard Terry talking to Keith and Heather and Jim and want them to do something. They'll stand right there and argue about it. Yeah. And back up, stand right there and argue with Mom and Daddy. And God's saying, don't be children in understanding. Don't be argumentative. Huh? I've gotten to the point now where I don't even argue with people anymore. I just tell them, this is what the Lord says. Take it or leave it. I don't care. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that'll happen. And I'm always right. It makes people mad. But it works. It works. People ask me one time, don't you hate being right all the time? Not at all. If anything, I hate being wrong. I don't think any of us want to go out of our way to be wrong. Huh? Maybe Jeff. Oh. Or Tim. Or Scott. Nobody wants to be wrong. Amen? Now, I found out a way never to be wrong. You want me to tell you the secret? No, I ain't going to do it. I'll tell you. Don't argue with God. Agree with Him. That's all you got to do. And keep your tater trash up until He tells you what to say. And if you can learn that one, you got it made. To keep your opinions to yourself. And don't open your mouth until God says, do it. When you do that, you can't be wrong. It's when we go trying to pontificate upon everybody our great knowledge and wisdom and our desire. And we end up fostering all over. And that's what it looks like to God, our knowledge sometimes. It's like bark, you know. And I hear some people talk sometimes and it looks like bark in the spirit. They please don't bark on me anymore. I can't sleep anymore. To avoid that, just don't talk except when the Lord tells you to. Amen. Don't know how I got onto that, but we got it out anyway. Brother, be not children in understanding. Don't argue with the Lord. That's how we got onto it, isn't it? You know, if you go, let me put it this way. Are y'all willing to listen to me tonight? Hmm?
backyard, huh? If I charge you $1,000 an hour to sit here and tell you this stuff, do you think you'd listen any more than you do right now?
No.
Most people would. Of course, most of you wouldn't even be here, but that's neither here nor there. But stop and think about it. People will go and pay a university money to listen to some stupid professor tell you how a certain newt is going to be extinct on 1 acre of land in Arizona. That don't, nobody really gives a flip about this newt anyway. And they'll try to tell you that the world is going to stop revolving and the sun is going to fall out of the sky and the stars are going to go black because that dude dies. I don't think so. And they'll pay good money to sit there and listen to that guy, and you know what? They'll graduate 2 years later and they'll still remember what that guy told you. Because they paid for it. They paid for it with hard-earned money, and they sat down, and they took notes, and they listened. And I guarantee you, I can take most of you out of this room an hour after this meeting, and you can't tell me what was said. Amen, brothers. Do I get an amen? It's the truth. Why? This is free. It don't cost you nothing. So, it doesn't mean anything to you. But I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not free. See? This isn't Wednesday night. I'm not taking up an offering, so don't start putting your purse further under the chair and pushing your wallet deeper in your pocket. We're not taking up an offering tonight. This is not free. It costs you. Because you're hearing this, you are accountable to God for it. And when he gives up the time to say, all right, what did you learn? You better know it. You better know it. There is a cost in this that is higher than you can ever imagine. It is a cost greater than I could ever charge you with money. It is a cost of your eternal salvation. It is a cost of your very life. Your very life depends on you hearing this. It's that important. It's that important. The people go and pay university professors all kinds of money to teach them garbage. And remember, I walk out of here 2 hours later, won't even remember what was said. Praise God. Don't be like children when it comes to understanding God's Word. Number two, howbeit in malice, be ye children, but in understanding, be men. See, be men. Don't argue with the professor. Don't argue with the professor if you want to graduate. Whether he's right or wrong, don't argue with him. Put down what he wants to hear. You'll graduate. Go on out. That's fine. But in the kingdom of God, we have a professor that's never wrong. He's right here. The Spirit of God that teaches us all things. Amen? Alright. Verse 21. God at least get halfway. Verse 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. See, he's still talking about this time.
And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. What happened there in Acts chapter 2? The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon them. 120 people. 120 people gathered around. In the upper room praying. The Holy Spirit comes in. Tongues of fire comes on them. Boom, they get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it says that all of them began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then you go on and read that all these different people from other lands came, and they heard them, and they said, how is it that we all hear them in our own language from which we were born? Now, if you look at that and just pay a little attention, you got 120 people talking at the same time. You got 15 different languages, and all 120 of them are speaking all of them at the same time, and yet everybody else is only hearing their own. What's happening here? God was giving them tongues, but giving everybody else the interpretation. And what did I say about interpretation the other day? Interpretation of tongues is when you speak it, when somebody speaks in tongues, the one with the interpretation hears it in his language. You see? It's not a thing where some churches will try to teach you that it's spoken over here in tongues, you hear it in tongues, and then you get up and tell everybody what you think it means. That's not interpretation, and yet that's what most churches do. Isn't that right, Ricky? Somebody over here will speak in tongues. Da-da-da-da-da-da. That's not tongues. I just don't do it unless God tells me to. Somebody over here speaks in tongues. Da-da-da-da. What's somebody else over here? He gives them, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. I will never forsake you. Oh, I love you. Somebody else is over there hearing, you're all a bunch of washed up idiots and I'm tired of you. And they won't say nothing. Because they know what will happen if they do. They saw it happen to me. Oh, I'd get up and tell them. Get up in the middle of St. James Cathedral. Thus saith the Lord. Never see so many of them come at me all at one time. You know, we're at Calvary Assembly, 4,000 people. 4,000 people. After about the 15th prophet that says, I love you, I love you, I love you, you're my beautiful bride, I love you, I love you. Then I get up and tell them what the Lord really had to say. You know, they didn't want me around there anymore. Of course, what I said came to pass. I told him, you keep it up. This is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. What happened? Everything I said. But when you hear the interpretation, you hear it in your language. You don't just get up and say something that you feel is right. It's a gift. Alright, where am I? Still on 22, or did I finish that? I finished that, didn't I? I finished 21? Okay, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. These signs shall follow them that believe, right? If they're following you, you're not looking at them. Amen? But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Prophecy for the church. Now, Luke 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, you've been to a few churches that do that? Have you? We'll have to show you where there's a few of them. It's pretty fun.
And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that ye are mad? Or do they hold their own or stop their name? Fanatics, holy rollers, dumb dumbers. And that's what's happening out here in these churches, in the Pentecostal churches today. But look at this. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all and is judged of all. That's kind of like this church I was invited to speak in down in Florida one time. And before the service, the minister came up to me and he said, "Brother Houston, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so." And I looked at him and I said, "How do you do?" I walked on him out of the way. I didn't like what I saw. I had to go pray about it. Preacher thought I was being rude. He didn't see nothing yet. Got in the church. They sang the songs. The preacher did his thing. Invited me up on the platform. "Brother Houston, won't you come up and say a few words?" I said, "Yes, first things first." I said, "That young couple that you pointed out, where are they?" "There they are back there, yeah." "Thus saith the Lord, how is it a man will have his sister for a wife?" Called it right out in front of the whole church. They were brother and sister. Living as married and full of a spirit-filled church. Hello. Then told him about the cancer he had in his head. Got his attention. Got his attention. He repented, got saved, got healed, got delivered. Praise God. And the preacher threw me out, wouldn't let me preach anymore. I tell you, that's what you're going to find in these churches out here. They don't want the truth. And you know what? The children of Israel didn't want the truth either. But I want the truth. And I hope you want the truth. But if you're going to serve God, you got to serve Him in spirit and in truth. And all this other crap's got to stop. Else, how is the world going to know? But Jesus came to me the other night. I told you, I shared with you. He said to me the other night, "Who will plead my case? Who will plead my case?" They're all out here telling lies about me in my name. They're all saying they come in my name. They're saying I sent you to send them, and they're speaking for me in my name, and they're not saying what I told them to say. Who's going to plead my case if you don't? So I'm going to take it off of me and put it on you. Who is going to plead his case if you don't? I can plead what he's given me to plead, but how about you? So therefore, if you've got this prophecy, and you can come and tell them, boom, then they're going to know you're of God. Then they'll kill you. Verse 25. "And that are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." Amen. Give me a pen, somebody. Thank you. We're going to stop right here. If I can remember where it was I stopped.
25.
All right. So tomorrow night we're going to start somewhere around 26. Amen?
Amen.
We're running a little bit late tonight. I appreciate you bearing with me. Church, this is important stuff. And God has been putting this together and dealing with me on it for years and years and years. And we're coming to the time now where it's important to know it and it's important to walk in it. Because there is a battle coming. There is an unholy alliance in this country today, just as there was in Israel. There was an unholy alliance at the time of Christ, in effect, when Jesus walked this earth.
And that unholy alliance was with money changers, the church, and Herod the king. Today in America, we have that same alliance. We have an unholy alliance between the money changers, the Federal Reserve, Herod, the government, and the church. And the people out here are being slaughtered spiritually, and they don't even know it. And if you don't have the love of God, to where you will learn of God and His ways, to be able to go out and to show people this, then there's no hope for this country. This is the answer for this country. Changing the hearts of the people is the only thing that's going to save this country. The people who are called by my name, how's that go? Will humble themselves and pray. I will what? I will come and heal their land. Turn from their wicked ways. All this other stuff isn't going to do any good. Let's just start right here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Brother Steve, say a prayer for us or something. Close out.
The Lord said, this is Rick just talking. The Lord said this. He said, don't be as a hypocrite, Stu, when you pray. We've talked about that a number of times, right? He said, you go pray in your closet. Amen? Pray secretly in your closet, where your Heavenly Father hears you in secret, and He will reward thee openly. Now I know I've been here since last Sunday, week ago. I've not given one altar call. Not one. And I'm not going to give one tonight. Because the Lord showed me a thing, and it's made some people mad down the road. And if He tells me to give an altar call, I'll give an altar call. But what He's been telling me to do for some time is to tell people, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you've known Him as your Lord and Savior, and you've backslidden and gotten out of His will, go home. Get in your closet. Confess your sins to Him. Confess your faults to Him. And tell Him, Father, forgive me. Give me Jesus. Save me. Teach me to walk in You.
Amen.
Amen. Do it secretly in your closet. Then come out, confess it before men, and walk it.
Amen.
And He will reward thee openly.
Amen.
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 I want you to sing that song, Rick, Creating Me a Clean Heart. This is what King David sang or wrote for the Lord after his fall with Bathsheba. Restore unto me the joy of Jesus. You know, when you backslide, you lose the joy of Jesus. You lose the joy of having Jesus as your Savior. Amen. David knew what that meant. He knew what it meant when he sang against the Lord. Took Bathsheba, as she had killed her husband, to cover it up. He found forgiveness. Amen. Sing for us.
Lord, we thank You very much for the message that You gave us this night. Thank You, Lord, for enabling, bringing all of these people here tonight. And I pray, Lord, as the folks go out, that each one will remember, they remember one thing, it will be to get in their closet this night. Because we're all in need. And I pray, Lord, that You will be there in the closet with the people this night. And I ask these things, Lord, it just ask that you ever want to take a trip home in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.